Let's take our Bibles, if you will, and turn to John's Gospel, chapter number 11. We'll look in verse 39. And I want to borrow a five-word statement, I guess you can say a command that Jesus gave there. John 11, verse 39. I'll preach on this or out of this morning and then also tonight, the Lord willing. This little phrase. Of course, you know what John 11 is about. It is where Jesus' friend, Lazarus, whom he loved, there in Bethany with Mary and Martha, passes away. He gets sick. They send word to Jesus and they want him to come. And, of course, it's 4 days before he gets there, and Lazarus has went through the sickness and has passed away, and they have buried him. But they are expecting, with great expectation, that the answer to all this is the Son of God. That if Jesus comes, they want him to come in a hurry. And when Jesus comes, they expect that he will have the remedy. And they expect that Jesus will do it totally. But here's where my phrase comes into mind. What they did not expect. Now, they expected some things from Jesus. But they did not expect what he would ask of them. That the answer to all of the distress, depression, heartache, and sadness that comes with the death of Lazarus, that the answer to that would begin with them. Notice what he says to them. Verse number 39. Take ye the stone away. How amazing it must have been to them that the very pivoting point, the hinging of this whole circumstance in the death of Lazarus would be upon what he said to them. Now I want to take that and I want to preach on what I call work expectations. And I'm speaking in the spiritual sense, that which we expect God to do for us. Little do we realize that there are some things he expects us to do for him. And I'll use these two words, expect and something, and draw them together for the thoughts that I give you this morning and tonight. And certainly all of us are sitting here today with needs that we realize that only the Lord can meet. And it is our expectation, it is our prayer, it is our desire that he would meet those needs. But understand, there is an expectation on your part and mine also. So let's look at this phrase again, and then we'll go into 4 or 5 thoughts for this morning. Take ye the stone away. Now here's my first thought in this matter of work expectations. Expect that if you want God to do something, he may ask you to do something first. It may fall upon you in your obedience to him before he does what you desire him to do. It always seems to begin that way. He said, if you'll knock first, I'll open. If you'll seek first, then you can find. If you'll ask first, then I will give. And so Jesus comes to this tomb, and they have great expectations of what he might do, but yet he turns to them first. And he says to them, now, here's what I want you to do, something that no one's ever done, no doubt, in this graveyard before. Something that you never thought that you would be asked to do. But if you want me to do what only I can do, you're going to have to do what I ask you to do. And you see, we expect God to work, but what we don't realize is he never works alone. It is where we find the omnipotence of God and the responsibility of man is never far apart. What God does for eternity will take some of our time. What God does that is miraculous will involve the ordinary, the mundane, and everyday. Everything that Jesus did involved His humanity and still involves humanity. When Jesus, everything He touched with a human hand that was His. Everything He saw with human eyes that was His. Everything He heard. Every step He took was with human feet because He was God manifested in the flesh. He was here, allowing God to work through His humanity. But now He sits at the right hand of the Father. He is no longer here physically as He has given His sacrifice and sat down as our substitution. But He expects us to be His eyes, His hand, His heart, and His feet in this world. And so when we expect Him to do something, it's probably going to involve us in one way or another. Yes, He would split the Red Sea, but Moses would have to raise the rod. Yes, He would send the rain, but Elijah would have to pray. Yes, the walls of Jericho would come down, but the people would have to walk around those walls. Yes, He would hold back the Jordan River, but the priests would have to step in the Jordan River. It will, in some form or fashion, if God does anything anywhere, He will use someone. And so understand that if you expect God, here's how I say it, expect that if you want God to do something, He may ask you to do something first. He may involve you somewhere pushing some stone, whatever it may be, out of the way, doing that which you can do, that which is natural, that which is physical. And then He will follow up and do that which is spiritual and that which is supernatural. Now, I don't know what all that may involve. I know here we have a man lying lifeless and a man lying in darkness. And what it's going to take is somebody's going to have to push. Somebody's going to have to shove. Somebody's going to have to put some energy. Someone's going to have to put some muscle. Somebody's going to have to put some time. It is demanded of them. You want me to raise him? You move the stone. And of course, there's all kinds of situations and darknesses and lifelessnesses. And there's all kinds of stones covering hearts and holding them in that darkness and of drugs and alcohol, whatever it may be. And certainly many of those are members of our families. And there's a lot of stones that need to be moved. But He's not going to move the stone. He's going to ask us to move the stone, to be a part of what He's doing. And by the way, how in the world can you believe in miracles if you've never been a part of a miracle? And here it is. He is saying to them simply, your part is you move the stone. Yes, He could have moved the stone. He could have unwrapped Lazarus. But, He is telling them, you want me to work, you work by faith first. First. Now, I don't know what all that might mean. It may be that it's going to take some time in prayer to move a stone for God to do a miracle or a work that's burdened upon your heart. This is not a fly-by-night situation. This is Lazarus. This is real. This is a brother. This is a friend. This is a loved one. And this is what they are wanting at this point more than anything else in this world. And all He's going to ask of them is take a little of your energy and time and move the stone, and I will do that which no one else could believe could be done. Amen. You do the simple, and I'll do what everybody else thinks is hard. It may be just a simple prayer. It may be someone that needs to be forgiven that has done something against you. Maybe you're going to have to forgive somebody. Or maybe it's just the fact that though they are so unlovable, that you're going to have to love them. Or it could be that it's going to take of your hard-earned finances of which you have worked your life long time for, and to give that as a portion to move some stones that are close by and move some stones that may be further away. I don't know what all it may be. It may be a visit to a rest home, or a visit to a hospital, or it may be a word sent to, or a visit to a loved one in prison or somewhere. Who knows? I cannot tell you what all of these stones may involve and where all of they are at. But I will tell you, whatever you are desiring from God will have a stone in front of it, and you will have to move it. You'll have to break the ice. You'll have to push. You'll have to shove. You'll have to take it away. Don't wait on Him. You'll have to do it. And someone would say, well, but my goodness, how long does it take to roll a stone away? You know how long it takes? As long as it takes. Look at the verse again. Jesus said to them, think about this in this main event. One of the greatest, if you could rate miracles, that theologians say is in the Bible. And it begins with, take the stone away. Expect that if you want God to do something, He may ask you to do something first. First. Secondly, and here's the thrill of it all. Here's the thrill of it all. Expect, connecting those words together, expect something. And that's what they are doing. They're expecting Him to do something. Expect that if He asks you to do something, if He comes to you and speaks to you with that still, small voice, if He gets into that special spot, and you know where that's at, where you hear His voice and only His voice, and He says to you, with no explanation, nothing to be figured out, nothing of great, needing great explanation, move the stone. Take the stone away. Now, to you and I, that may be something, and it usually is. What He asks us to do, we begin automatically to try to figure, oh, wait a minute. And can you imagine those who were standing there, and He said, take the stone away. I can hear somebody say, are you kidding? That's never been done here before. There's never been a stone rolled away from the grave. And the second thing is, they probably said, has this been voted on? Have we talked to the priests and the Pharisees about this? Matter of fact, is it legal? Is it? Do we have a license to do this? There are all the reasons why you need not put your hand on something that He says, you move that stone. There'll always be those natural hindrances to what He's telling you to do. But understand, if you will not give in to those natural hindrances and refuse to move that stone, if you will obey Him and do that something, if He asks you to do something, here's my word, if He asks you to do something, it is because, thank God, He's got something He's going to do. And there will be no comparison as to what He asks you to do and what He's going to do. Now, in spite of all the TV and television evangelists and preachers who claim to perform miracles, there's none that can. No one ever has. You said, well, what about the Red Sea? Moses didn't split the Red Sea. He held the rod, and God split the Red Sea. So Moses ain't got nothing to brag about. He didn't say, oh, karate chop. No, said Moses, I can split a body of water if you'll raise a stick. Raise a stick. Well, it's kind of embarrassing. People wonder why I'm raising the stick over the water. Raise the stick. Well, what's everybody going to say with us over there? It's, man, I got friends in this community, and they see me pushing. Push the stone. That's all I'm asking. Do you want the miracle? Do you want me to do the work? Do you want something divine happen? We'll do that which I tell you to do and expect that if you will obey and you will do the something I ask you to do, there is something I am going to do. Elisha, I will send the rain, but I'm waiting on a prayer. Now, we sometimes think that God's not serious about that. That, you know, He's going to do what He's going to do, whether we do what we are supposed to do. And I'll get on to that in a little more later. But the truth of the matter is, take the stone away and then witness what God can do. And, you know, we've all, I'm sure, if you walk with the Lord, we could all say, and I'm looking at you, and haven't there been times in your life when you've heard His still small voice and you thought, ah, wait a minute. But He will always say, He will always put it in context with saying, you want to see what I can do? Huh? You want to see what I can do? And you're in that deep spot, you're saying, oh, God, you know I want to see what you can do. Well, do what I tell you to do. You can see. What I'm asking you to do won't be hard. It'll be simple. It may take a little muscle, a little energy, a little time. I guarantee you, I can do. And it keeps you on that edge. And what you're wanting Him to do will stay in there also. Man, Lazarus, he's here. I want Lazarus. Move the stone. Well, I'd like to see my... Move the stone. I hope Lazarus can... Move the stone. Well, I wish he hadn't even died. Move the stone. Man, I remember when Lazarus was healthy. Move the stone. There's nothing that he'll ask you to do. He will not enable you physically to do that. And then you can witness what He could do. Hallelujah. Don't you love that? I say to you, in this matter of work expectation, expect that if you want Him to do something, He may want you to do something first. But if He asks you to do something, expect He's got something He's going to do. And may we rejoice in our hearts to hear that God has spoken to a saint when they stand and testify and told them to do something, because then you can be sure He's not quit working. He's got more He's going to do. But He won't do it by Himself. Check the Scriptures all the way back. God never. After He created man, God never works alone. He's interested in using His children. Isn't that, that's encouraging to me. To know when He speaks to me, though I cringe, He's saying, oh, I got something big coming your way if you'll do something little. I hesitate to, and I know, as I say, you've all had those times where He's, but I can remember when I pastored in the little church there in North Carolina, and I told the people, I said, well, I want the Lord to let us live and die here. And man, I loved it. And the Lord came to me one day and said, you're done. And man, I remember it just right there, you're done. No problems. God was blessing. I mean, really blessing. People being saved and everything. But you're done. Just like that. And when He said it, I said, no, I'm not. Now, I don't advise that. And He said to you, but I have much more. I said, you got much more? He said, I got much more. I said, what is it? He said, well, get done. And every day within me was that touch of his voice saying, you're going to have to move the stone. I'm starting with you. I said, but Lord, you do that first and I'll look. No, he said, you move the stone and I'll do the rest. You got to understand that church took care of all my needs, provided me a car, paid me insurance, gave us a house to live in. I mean, we had a man. And he was telling me to walk away from all of that with three children in college and be an evangelist. My vision of an evangelist for me was standing on the side of the road with a sign that says, we'll preach for food. I said, Lord, I can't preach well enough to... I'm not a good enough preacher to where people are going to ask me to preach all over the country. I'm not a good preacher. He said, I know that. But I won't tell them. But it wrestled within my heart night and day. And he said, I want to show you something. I want to show you something. I want to do something. Will you do? And finally the day came where I surrendered and rolled my stone away and walked away. And from that day to this, I have never had to call and ask for a place to preach. As a matter of fact, and I say this humbly, I could fill my calendar twice every week, twice, because God has opened so many. But that's just an example. I mean, and I said, Lord, but I'm not going to call people and tell them. And he said, you won't have to. And I said, I'm not going to go around the country as the ragtag salesman of the gospel telling everybody how broke I am. He said, you won't have to. I'll take care of all that. And I'm going to tell you something. It's kind of like standing at Lazarus' tomb. And, of course, it is in a way with the people that have been saved, lives changed, is that I have been able for 21 years of seeing God breathe. Just by simply moving. Now, there have been other stones for other things, but I'm talking about that one thing. Expect that if you want him to do something, he'll have something for you to do, possibly first. He may even make you hang around last and loose him and let him go. But expect that if he asks you to do something, it's because he has something that he is going to do. And then thirdly, if you will do what he wants you, the something he wants you to do, and he does the something you want him to do, because you're both on the same page, something's going to happen. If they move that stone away, hell nor high water is going to keep Lazarus in that grave. He's coming out. He's coming out. And let us understand this. Let us understand this. If the something you want God to do is on the same page of the something that God wants you to do, honey, look out. You're going to witness something that is marvelous and something that is miraculous. You know why? Because that works. It works. It's the same thing that has worked all through the ages, and it's the same thing that will work in 2020. Can you believe we've gone that far? Amen. It is listening to his voice and doing what he says, and it will always be simple unless you make it difficult. But once it comes, oh, just to see him work. It's an amazing thing. I'll give you an illustration and close. I was preaching in Hickory. And there was an elderly gentleman there who was kind of like a lay preacher. He wasn't the pastor of the church or anything. But his burden for all those years was to visit all of those homes as people moved in and out of them, and whoever moved into that home, they got a visit, but they don't only get a visit once. He pastored that community. In other words, if someone died, he'd be there, even though they didn't go to church, and most of them were not saved, and he would give them the gospel and so on. And he said one day someone asked him to visit a man that he went and visited. He's been a preacher and a missionary for all of, since that time. He said, let me tell you about the story about... He said, this person said, would you go and visit him? He said, now, when you go, be prepared. It's really bad. He said, I didn't realize how bad it was until I pulled up to the address given to me and said the shutters had just about fallen off around the windows. The door was on one hinge. The grass hadn't been mowed. The fence was laid down. The house hadn't been painted. But he said, when I stepped on the inside, it was worse than the outside. He said, there were bodies laying everywhere, people who were drugged up and drunk. The stench was terrible. But he said, I stepped over those bodies. I'm talking about moving the stone. A voice in the corner. He said, I turned and I couldn't even really see who it was. And said, the voice said, yes. In a low tone, I'm over here. He said, I turned and I stepped over the bodies and I got down where I could see his face. And he said, someone sent me this way to tell you about the Lord Jesus and about the gospel and to ask you if you wanted to be saved. He said, his answer was, yeah, I think I do. He said, I didn't know if he understood or not. He said, I got down real close and I explained to him salvation again. And you mean to tell me that you'll ask the Lord Jesus into your heart? He said, yeah, I think I will. And he said, he bowed his head and they prayed, but he said, the only one there was doubt was me. He said, I don't know how a man in that condition and in that place could even grasp the gospel and be saved. He said, I left, and 2 weeks later, he said, I told my wife, I'm going back by there and see if that was real. I don't know how it could be. He said, 2 weeks later now, I pulled up. He said, I thought I had the wrong address. Said the house was painted. The shutters were put back. The grass was mowed. The fence was fixed. Everything looked different. And he said, I knocked on the door, and he said, the door opened, and there stood. Said he looked at me with a gleam in his eye and he said, preacher, this thing works. Hallelujah. He said, I thought about Acts chapter number 16 where Paul spoke to that Philippian jailer and he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Well, he saved his house. He saved the shutters, he saved the grass, he saved the fence, he just saved everything. Now, you know why that worked, and it worked because he's still the preacher of the gospel. Do you know why that worked? It's because somebody was willing to take the time and roll a stone away. To just step in the midst of all of that, and he didn't have to go paint the house. He didn't go have to hang shutters. He didn't go have to mow the grass. He didn't have to fix the fence. All he had to do was move the stone by doing what the Lord told him. Brothers and sisters, if I were to ask to raise a hand, many of you have grieved over those living in darkness, lifelessness, those who have major stones barring them in. But let us realize that it could be one of those stones. All you'll need to do is what he asks you to do. Take ye the stone away. Let's stand.